This is episode 64 of Social Entrepreneur with Amanda LaGrange of Tech Dump.
It takes a certain skill set, honestly, for a founder to pass on the baton. So it speaks highly of the gentleman that founded our organization. But for me, I just saw the potential. So it wasn't necessarily that I birthed the idea, but I've definitely been a huge part around growing it and scaling it.
Welcome to the Social Entrepreneur Podcast. My name is Tony Lloyd. I'm a former business executive with Fortune 500 companies. Today, I spend my time with changemakers who are making an impact in the world. Each week, we bring you exciting stories from the world of social entrepreneurs, benefit corporations, and impact investing. Thanks for being with me today. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome to episode 64 of Social Entrepreneur with Amanda LaGrange of Tech Dump. Now, Amanda is a great example of someone who wasn't the founder of a company. She came in first on the board, then she became a member of the marketing team, and today she is the CEO. So you don't have to be a founder of a company in order to have social impact. Now, Tech Dump is a really interesting company. They refurbish and recycle electronic waste. So they're taking all that electronic waste out of the waste stream, and they are using those funds to provide jobs for people with barriers to employment, including those who have spent time in the social justice system. So Amanda's going to explain all that in the interview. There's a lot to love about Amanda. Here she is, Amanda LaGrange of Tech Dump.
I'm Amanda LaGrange with Tech Dump.
Okay. Amanda, what is Tech Dump?
Sure. Tech Dump is a local 501c3 social enterprise that uses refurbishing and recycling of electronics to create jobs for adults facing some sort of barrier to employment.
Wow. Okay, so refurbishing electronics. So where do those electronics come from?
All sorts of places. About half of our customer base is a business, so small, medium-sized, or some larger corporations. But a lot of very sweet grandmas and neighbors and individuals that want to get rid of their electronics the right way will come and drop off at our two facilities in the Twin Cities.
Okay, and can you give me some examples of things that come through your door?
All sorts of items. Our saying is that we take anything with a cable cord or battery that's not a large home appliance. So we don't want any air conditioners, no washers or dryers. But we see everything from computers to TVs to we see some electronic drills that have stopped working. But when you think of your kind of core electronics, it's definitely the computer, stereo speaker, those kind of items. But on the really strange things we've seen, I've seen pink Barbie cars, the children's cars, battery-operated hunting ducks. I mean, you really never know. Every day is an adventure at Tech Dump.
Wow. Battery-operated hunting ducks. I love that. Now, that's not one would have been on my short list. Right?
No, definitely not. Yeah. Definitely not.
So how did you get here? What's your path that brought you to Tech Dump?
Yeah, my path and Tech Dump's path are very interwoven, even though I was not one of the co-founders of our organization. But back when social enterprise was really starting to get some momentum and some legs, there were two for-profit business partners who had been writing checks to various nonprofits in town and trying to give back. And they had employed a gentleman named Darren, who was really, really grateful for the job that he had in their warehouse and every day would thank them for the opportunity to work. And they started looking into the situation more and more, and they learned that because he had a felony, it was very hard for him to find employment. And so they applied their knowledge of kind of online sales, e-commerce, SEO, to a nonprofit that would take in stuff, and we'll keep it pretty vague because at the time it was truly that. We had furniture donations, we had ski equipment, we had everything, and selling it through online channels, and the whole time creating jobs for adults specifically who had spent time in the justice system. So when this organization was founded in 2010, I was working in corporate finance at a packaged food company and was asked to join the board of directors. And I joke that you have to be careful where you volunteer because a few years later, I would step into a part-time position where I was working to be able to spend about 10 hours a week helping to grow the Tech Dump brand and eventually pitched a position to the board and left my day job in corporate finance and entered into our marketing position at Tech Dump. So it's kind of an interesting path of being in the right place at the right time personally and signing up, honestly.
Right. Part of what I really love about your story is you weren't the founder.
Right.
Yeah. So say more about that, about, you know, I run into people all the time who say, well, I want to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I consider you an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. right? So what, talk to me about your thoughts around being an entrepreneur in a social enterprise, but you don't have to be the founder.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it takes a certain skill set, honestly, for a founder to pass on the baton. So it speaks highly of the gentleman that founded our organization. But for me, I just saw the potential. So it wasn't necessarily that I birthed the idea, but I've definitely been a huge part around growing it and scaling it, which scaling in a social enterprise is one of the most difficult things because you have to continue to create infrastructure at the same time that you're growing your top line. So especially with a background in corporate finance, I have a little bit more of a passion, I think, than the average person around creating those procedures and infrastructure than kind of your typical entrepreneur. But I've learned a lot about kind of getting more comfortable with risk, which is something that's much more common to a founder versus a person in my current shoes.
Yeah. Do you have a phrase that you use for to describe people who have difficulty getting jobs? Is there a phrase for that? The difficult to employ, or what's the word around that?
The phrase that we use is adults facing barriers. And okay. So that speaks to the fact that they're not permanent.
Right.
They're not always going to have those barriers, but they're currently facing them. Okay. For specifically, we employ adults that have spent time in the justice system.
Right.
That's a very different phrase than ex-felons, right, formerly incarcerated, but it's showing that it's just one of the steps along a journey. It's not that that moment defines a person for the rest of their lives.
Right. Are the people who are facing barriers, are you primarily looking with working with people who were in the justice system then?
Correct, yes. So about 75% of our employees have spent time in the system.
Okay. And so how big is that problem right there?
It's huge. It's huge.
Do you have any ideas around that?
Yeah. The United States is home to 5% of the world's population, and yet we incarcerate 25% of the world's incarcerated people.
Yeah.
And the challenges, especially with technology, which is a bit of the irony of Tech Dump, is once a person has it on the record, you can find it all over the internet. There's no kind of starting over because your past is now digital and it follows right. you wherever you go.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of stereotypes that exist for a reason. Mm-hmm. There are some stereotypes, though, that need to be broken down so that people can prove the fact that they really are a great employee that will show up to work every day on time.
Right.
Just because an employer tried somebody else that maybe had a background doesn't mean that that's the same kind of issue that they'll have with every employee.
Right. Now, at one point, what were you originally called? If you've narrowed down to recycling technology, what was your organization originally called?
Our 501c3 name is Jobs Foundation.
Jobs Foundation.
So all around the creation of jobs, not right. connected to Steve Jobs. Sometimes no. I get that question, and my, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
So Tech Dump was a division that was started about a year after Jobs Foundation was okay. created to really explain to people what our social enterprise is doing. Jobs Foundation is a little too vague.
Right.
You'll still find the branding on some of sure. our information where it talks more about our training program.
Right.
And kinda as we look out, the goal would be to add more divisions under that Jobs Foundation umbrella.
Okay. And we talked about how big the problem is with the people with barriers to employment, mm-hmm. right? What about how big is the problem with technological waste and why is it a problem?
Yeah, this is what I love about these statistics. So we talked about that we're incarcerating 25% of the world's incarcerated people. Mm-hmm. We're also using 25% of the world's resources. And the EPA reports that we're only recycling 25% mm-hmm. of electronic devices used by consumers. So we're at this great intersection of all of these challenges where we can take stuff and create value from it. And so we have a very firm belief that there's no person that's wasted, there's no material that's wasted, there's value and transformation is definitely possible.
Say that again. There's value and transformation mm-hmm. is possible.
Absolutely.
Do you think that the value is in the transformation?
You bet. The yeah. lessons learned in that process.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's wow. That's a quotable quote right there. I'm gonna put a picture of you and put that quote right there.
Sounds good. Sounds good. With my permission. Yeah, absolutely. There you go.
So how much electronic, is that how you say it? Electronic waste?
Mm-hmm. How much
electronic waste is there? Any ideas?
There's millions and millions of pounds of it. Millions and millions of tons of it, honestly. Right. It's the fastest growing waste stream across the world right now because we're constantly finding more ways to use technology. So a watch used to be a watch, and now it's an Apple Watch.
Yes.
My refrigerator used to just be a refrigerator, and now it has crazy technology in it that knows things probably my computer also knows. So we're seeing that advancement. But in the state of Minnesota last year, 50 million pounds of electronics were collected for recycling. So you can just imagine how many are either sitting in basements. That's what we hear quite frequently. It's not the people in the state of Minnesota, because we are pretty progressive, pretty aware, and have some good state programs. It's not that they're landfilling them. It's more that they're collecting in basements and back closets and drawers of cell phones and cords and cables that no one remembers what device it goes to any longer. But as Tech Dump last year, we recycled 5 million pounds.
Wow.
So pretty good chunk of it. But it's amazing to think that we're the third largest collector of electronics in the state of Minnesota, and we only got a tiny piece of it. So there's a lot of people doing what we're doing from an electronics recycling standpoint, but very few that are using it to create job training opportunities.
Right. So what's the problem with, and this may be overly obvious, I don't know, but what's the problem with, if I have an old computer monitor, or I have an old, I don't know, an old iPad that was generation one, and it's no longer useful to me, what's wrong with just dropping that in the trash can?
Yeah, there's kind of two challenges that come up there. The first is that actually our electronics do contain toxic materials. So in the manufacturing process, there's lead, there's mercury, especially those old tube TVs and tube monitors, the clunky old ones that no one can pick up even because they're so big. There's a large quantity of lead inside. So they're very hazardous materials to just be throwing away. The other side, though, is kind of the opportunity cost. So think of Christmas lights and extension cords. Inside of those plastic coverings are copper. Well, as we continue to throw those away, we'll have to go somewhere else for copper sources. And so that's where we get into conversations on mining to keep up with the requirement of all of these cables and chargers.
Yeah. So how are you guys funded then? I think I understood you to say that you're a nonprofit.
Correct.
Right? So is there a revenue stream here? Are there grants? I mean, how does all this work?
Right. To date, so from our founding in 2010, we've been 98% self-funded through earned revenue models. 50% of our income currently comes from the sale of refurbished electronics. So we sell PCs and Apples. We sell flat panel monitors starting at $25. It's amazing how much someone can save by buying a refurbished system that still has many, many years of life in them. The other half of our revenue comes from either the recycling fees that we charge up front or from the sale of commodities. So whether the circuit boards, the power supplies, even those extension cords, when you have millions of pounds of them, they do add up to having value.
Yeah. So talk more about the business itself then. What's some things that you think people would want to know about your business? Something maybe they wouldn't know.
Right. Yeah. We really are very scalable. And so for the more electronics we take in, the more people we can employ. Mm. And so that's where we're constantly saying, bring us your stuff, because then we can create more jobs and more job opportunities. One thing that I always love to share is there are very few items that ever get thrown away. So even when people bring in their printers that still have printer paper in, we haven't bought printer paper in, I think, 4 years. Because we have so much paper coming through the door of people that left it in their printers and copiers. The same for people bringing stuff in cardboard boxes. We're also recycling that. So we have a very strong commitment to the environment, just as much for the employee training side. It's not an either or for us.
Right.
It's a both and.
Yeah. So one of the thoughts that came up for me as you were saying that is there seems to be, I don't know, call it a strategy or whatever it is. So when I need to replace the printer cartridge in my printer, printer cartridges are expensive.
Right.
And often I will see, hey, come buy this brand new printer.
Mm-hmm.
later technology, better scanner, et cetera, for less than the price of a printer cartridge. So talk about that.
Our electronics have absolutely become disposable. And honestly, I think if it weren't for the job training side of what we do, I would be disgusted most of my day by the amount of waste that's flowing through our warehouses from an electronics side. But really, there's some good momentum around buying. There's a great phrase of buying at once. So buying really high quality products that will stand the test of time. That's how we're able to refurbish so much of our equipment, is we have products that are coming in that were built to last. And so they have 3-4 years left in them. It's just that someone wanted a larger flat panel monitor or newer laptop. But I think as consumers continue to push onto manufacturers, those manufacturers will realize that they need to adjust their business models a little bit. There's been some great legislation that kind of first drafted in Minnesota last year called the Fair Repair Bill. And there's quite a few refurbishers as well as repair organizations here in Minnesota that have been very interested in this legislation. And it would provide manuals, tools, parts. If you've ever looked at any of your Apple products, you'll realize that those screws are not available at your local Home Depot. So making them available for sale, not free, from the manufacturers, which then allows those electronics to last longer and longer. You can imagine, though, that for many manufacturers, their business models are built on selling the item rather than having it last forever. And so there is a little bit of a trade-off, and that's where the consumer needs to come in and really say, all right, Apple, you talk a good talk about being environmentally conscious. This is important to me. I want to be able to repair my items forever and not necessarily have to go to the Apple store to get those specific screws.
Right. As you think about your business model, what's the choke point? What's the point that keeps you from being able to scale more?
Mm-hmm. Our biggest choke point is material in the door, and specifically refurbishable equipment into our facility. We love getting vacuum cleaners and printers, but they're not going to really create enough revenue to create as many jobs as getting 100 computers that all match and have the ability to be refurbished. And so as we've kind of shifted our business model a little bit, in the beginning, we were all focused on recycling for consumers. So back to our sweet grandmas and neighbors that we talked about. And now about half of our customer base is from a commercial side. We have small, medium businesses that are choosing to recycle with us because we make it easy. We've got great customer service. We guarantee all data is destroyed. We're certified. And, oh, by the way, you can use your stuff for a good cost. Yeah. And so it's a very compelling offer. But the more stuff we get in, the better. We're ready to scale on real estate and staffing and all of it. It's just a matter of supply for us.
Yeah. So that's the supply inside. Now, on the supply outside, if people, let's say that, two scenarios here. One, I do have some stuff in my basement, and I want to get rid of it.
Right.
How do I do that?
We have two locations, one in St. Paul and one in Golden Valley, for drop-off Monday through Friday. Okay. In March, we have special Saturday hours, so that's exciting for everyone.
Is that for March Madness?
It is for March Madness, I should tell the team. Really for spring cleaning, okay, all things considered. But so we've got two locations. We also, for our business customers, offer pickups, which in some cases can be free. So we try to make it as convenient as possible for people to get rid of their items.
Right. So now on the purchase side, though, so you, I walked into your facility here. We're in Golden Valley, Minnesota. I walked into your facility, and there's a rack full of some very nice equipment sitting there. So how do people purchase items from you? Can they only come to one of your locations? Can they buy things online? How does all that work?
Great question. So we have an eBay store and an Amazon store that make it easy for anyone anywhere to buy equipment from us. We also have our Golden Valley facility that sells items. We're getting ready to launch at the end of March a new website that's called techdiscounts.org. Okay. And that will be a place that people can come online and see what we have in stock. They can purchase online. But in the meantime, we're a little old school, I guess we'll call it, with phone calls and emails.
Okay.
But it's amazing the number of nonprofits that are able to purchase equipment from us and spend their money on their mission rather than on their electronics.
Right.
We've got small businesses that realize that they'll pay 25% of what they would if they went to a Best Buy or a different electronics store to buy brand new. And we have many, many parents that come in saying that their child needs it for homework or that they're playing some game on their computer all the time and they just need a kid-friendly version that they're not going to be too upset about if it gets dropped.
Yeah. So let's think about social entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. If you had one or two pieces of advice that you could pass along to social entrepreneurs, what would they be?
That there's no clear direct path to be a social entrepreneur.
Say more about that.
Sure. So when I was an undergraduate, I felt like I would need to go get my MBA and study social entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. which now looking back on, I realized, no, I just needed to get some business experience. So I knew what I was doing when I looked at a P&L. So I think many times, especially with a great generation that's focused on giving back through their careers, it seems like there must be some special path, and there really isn't. Every day is an adventure, and life's a journey, and you just kind of have to say yes enough times that you'll end up in the right spot.
Yeah. If people were looking for you online or on social media, where would they look?
Sure. Personally, you can find me on Twitter under Gracie Lou Today, and that's in Lou with two O's. but Tech Dump is techdump.org. We're on Facebook, and for Twitter, we're TechDumpMN.
Okay. And then we're going to go to a call to action in a minute, mm-hmm. but you've probably heard enough of the podcast episodes. You know, this is a point at which I usually acknowledge my guest, mm-hmm. right? And so, Amanda, I want to acknowledge you for finding a way in. Mm-hmm. You know, you had a good career. You your heart was called to work for good. Mm-hmm. And so you spent the time, you got the degree, you got the business experience, and then inch by inch, you got pulled in, right? But you chose that path. Mm-hmm. So I just want to acknowledge you for making that choice. You're making a big impact.
Thank you.
You're making a difference, and you're a great example to a lot of other people. So congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, a call to action.
Well, I have two calls to action.
Okay.
The first is anyone that's not working for a nonprofit, and maybe even those that are working for a nonprofit, should join a board. Mm-hmm. You get to practice skills that you can't practice in your day job. So, for example, I was working in corporate finance, but I often was volunteering in marketing capacities on our board at the time, and then I moved into a marketing position, let alone the things that you develop in yourself just through those experiences. So join a board and realize that there is no such thing as waste. Mm-hmm. Everything has value and everyone has value. And if we truly believe that transformation is possible, then nothing is wasted.
Wow. Oh, that is a great place to leave it right there. Thank you so much for being with us on Social Entrepreneur.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us today. You are the reason that we provide Social Entrepreneur every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you'd like the show notes for today, head over to tonyloyd.com/064. That's TonyLoyd with one L, tonyloyd.com/064. Now, while you're there for just the rest of this week, you're going to find a link to the ebook, 5 Key Traits of Successful Social Entrepreneurs. That's only going to be available until the end of March. Then we're going to go to another giveaway. But if you'd like to have that and you're not near your laptop right now, you can text the word SOCENT to the number 44222. And that's just for the end of this month, the month of March. Well, listen, thanks for being with us today. And until next time, remember to use this one short, amazing life and go make an impact. Thanks. We'll talk to you next time on Social Entrepreneur.